Blog Talk Radio.
That's it. I don't need any more music because I'm pumped up already. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. We are back. We are back indeed. And thank you. And welcome to another edition of, a Tuesday edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio with your host, with the most, the king of king himself, the beast from the east, and I'm ready to curse some people out because the ISIS, Donald Trump, and all the haters trying to stop my show last night, but it didn't happen. I am the Hot Rod, ladies and gentlemen. And on the other line, I have...
the one and only, the one that is more calm than the steward of the ship, the one and only Sean Black. And, of course, my sister from another mister.
Hey, guys. It's Anitra. How are you tonight?
I am fine.
I'm ready. Okay, first off, I'd like to apologize for last night's show mishap. There was some technical difficulties. Once again, I blame either ISIS or Donald Trump or all my haters that's trying to stop my show of me to express my feelings of what's going on. It's not going
to
happen,
what was
okay?
You know what was a puppy that was running around just biting on the cords? You know what happened, so hey.
Yes. My son hit the boy like, whoop, cut the show. That's it. Daddy time.
Oh, boy.
But, ladies and gentlemen, to call in, to vent, ask questions, or what's on your mind lately, the number is 347-989-8402. The number once again is 347-989-8402. And tonight we're going to do what we do best, like we did last week and the week before that. Guys, what time is it?
It's time to piss people off.
Duh.
Yes, indeed. Okay. First off, apparently everybody know what happened on Friday the 13th. We just witnessed, and I put this in quotation, a new 9/11, but this time in Paris, France. The carnage left at least, I could be wrong with the numbers, but the numbers keep changing due to the media. 132 people dead, but hundreds wounded. Excuse me. I'm having my juice right now.
Yes.
Well, what do you think about the terrorism attack that happened in Paris? Now let the debate begin. Starting with, for the first time, I'm going to start with a pretty lady named Anitra B. Anitra B, take it away. What do you think about this terrorism attack?
Oh, it's sad. I mean, I wasn't surprised, but it's unfortunate that we're still dealing with this shit. Hopefully we can figure out a way to, I don't think it's ever going to go away, but at least try to minimize.
Okay.
Well, I mean, what else are we going to do? I mean, there's always going to be ignorance and stupidity out there. That's a given.
Yeah. I think the world has become so much of a volatile place where we're in a part of society now where we're in the technology age where no one can do anything without somebody on the other side of the world not knowing about it. Yep. We've got Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and all of these other social media selections that you can find and stay in tune with Instagram and all of those kinds of social media areas that you can go and communicate certain things. And with that also comes responsibility. And with that responsibility, it also comes a lot of people that have good options, good opinions, good things that they want to talk about, but then you're going to also have those bad seeds. And it, just like any newer type of medium, you're going to have any kind of radical, evil people that come out and say anything to anybody, and they're looking for an audience so that they can listen to it, so that they can spew more hate and create more carnage. Like you said, Hot Rod, it was well over 125, 130. The last I checked, I think it was 132 people are dead. It's over 352 injured. 99 of them seriously. People are in the hospital. We don't even need to really go over all of the stuff that happened. We know the explosions that happened in three separate spots in in France, in Paris. We know, we've seen the video, we've heard the accounts of all of the things and all of the people that have been affected by this. And I think that it's sad in and of itself that we're still talking about this now, some almost 15 years after 9/11 has happened, which also goes to show you that these kinds of things are going to continue to happen. And
okay, why do you think this attack happened in Paris?
Well, the premise behind this attack, this is what I get the gist of. Going back to there was an incident that happened, I believe it was either last year, a couple of years ago, I think it was last year, where there is a French satirical magazine called Charlie Hebdo. And in the article that they did in that magazine, it was perceived that one of the writers made fun of or in jest did not put into light the Prophet Muhammad in the Muslim world. Anybody that puts the Prophet Muhammad in the wrong light, whether it's by a caricature or a cartoon or any bad reference spoken of in the wrong light, it is looked at as very, very disrespectful. And in a lot of people's eyes that are radicalized, it is looked upon as it could end your life in some parts of the world. So that happened. The writers, I believe that the building was attacked, and there were writers that were killed because of that. And I believe this, in that part of France where the magazine is stationed, they've had a lot of different things happening in the media, a lot of attacks, a lot of radicalized attacks through either ISIS or other attacks there. So I think this is on the heels of it. Paris is looked at as a progressive city, and I believe because Paris is such a progressive city and so wide open, I think in the eyes of the attackers, ISIS, they looked at this as an easy thing to do. And we're seeing more and more radicalized people going in with their views and are now infiltrating areas, almost, as they say, going dark. We have a lot of these newer apps that are out there where people can just text and they can send pictures and do certain things and go completely off the map and organize attacks and do certain things. And this is what I think is part of what's going on now with this anti-America sentiment and this anti-freedom sentiment that seems to be going around, and it's getting just proliferated even more so every day we listen to the news and talk about it.
Okay, Ms. Jones, you are on the air. Welcome to the Absolute Truth Show.
Hello, missed you guys yesterday, but we're
hello.
Hello.
Hi, Mitchell. Hi, Martha.
brother,
be on the line, Drew?
No, not yet.
Okay.
So, what do you think about the attack in Paris? Like, what do you think started? What do you think was the cause behind the attack in Paris? And do you think that was the new 9/11?
That I definitely don't know. Me personally, I'm not engrossed in politics. I don't know if ISIS or Syria or whomsoever has whatever issue with. I mean, I briefly heard that something happened where France had attacked. I don't know. I just know they have beef with France. But I just think it's just, you know, when you watch when you see the events unfold, like the concert, when they're playing in the concert, and I just try to, like, I don't want to say I put myself there, but could you just imagine, like, you're at Powerhouse or Hot 97 or watching, I don't want to say Sarah McLachlan, Katy Perry, whoever, and, you know, people just start shooting like that in a concert, like, I mean, it's like you're not safe anymore. I mean, it's just crazy. So I really feel for them, especially there was like a pregnant woman hanging out a window. You know, that they're showing that a lot. And,
oh, yeah. There were
the guy,
a lot of images like that.
Yeah, and the guy that pulled her up. Mm-hmm.
Are we surprised by the attack so far? I mean, there was a train.
Of course we're surprised. Because, I mean, we did it. I mean, some people may say the conspiracy theory, oh, yeah, the government knew it was going to happen. They were warned. I honestly don't know how, because even with 9/11, they were saying, oh, Bush knew, they all knew. And I'm like, so are we like sitting ducks and our government knows that we're about to be attacked? Like specifically when and how? Like that's very interesting. But I was surprised. I'm sure a lot of other people are surprised.
In
even
all
like
reality, I'm kind of surprised that something like this hasn't happened much more often. Because if
yeah,
you think about it, since 9/11, think of all of the attacks and the things that you've heard in the news. Remember the London bombings with that happened out in, I think it was Trafalgar Square, somewhere in London where there were bombings over there in the subway systems. You have this happening. You hear so many different things happen all around the world. And we're in a situation now where it's either allies of the United States or it seems to be anybody that has the same mindset politically as the United States. You're starting to see a lot of these attacks pop up, like these smaller things. And we've had instances that have happened. We've had instances that almost happened. Remember, we just had there was a Russian plane that was just blown up over Egypt not that long ago, and ISIS took they claim responsibility for that. But also think of all of the things that did not happen that almost happened, like the guy that tried to blow up the plane by putting the bomb in his sneaker. That didn't work. There was almost an attack in Times Square some years ago. Somebody tried to set a car bomb in Times Square. That didn't work. So we're getting to the point now where we're living in a time where certain things seem to be happening, and it's going to happen with a little more regularity, it seems. That's the scary part.
Yeah, but remember, you forgot we had the Boston bombing a couple of years ago at the marathon.
Exactly. Exactly. And those are what they're calling homegrown terrorists. We're not seeing the old model of there's somebody coming from outside the country to come in and destroy or bomb or crash or whatever. We're not seeing that anymore. What we're seeing are people that are disenfranchised with a particular country, with the United States or with France or with England or whatever, and they're living amongst the people in wait until something happens. And that is the new terrorism that we're starting to see pop up here and there. And that's the scariest part, because you just never know when the next one could happen, if it happens soon or if it happens later. You just can't really tell now, because people are going, as I say, they're going dark. You can't find out where they're coming from, because now with technology the way it is, and as I just said earlier, there are a lot of apps that are out there where we just talked to this like a week or two ago of the apps that are out where kids can text and they can send sexting messages to each other and then hide them within an app that makes it look like a calculator or something like that. They're doing things along these lines where they're messaging themselves, and you can't detect anything because from what I've read, that a lot of the people that have actually created the apps, they don't even have the keys to the app to actually find out what other people are texting each other. That's how secure these apps are. So that's the scarier part now.
Actually, if you put the parental control on the child's phone, a lot of these apps can't even open.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the only way from what I understand, that's the only way to stop them.
Yeah.
Because they are that whole 18 and over bid. So the only way to stop them is to make sure you block your child's phone.
Wow.
Put that block on.
So is this war and that's going on right now, is it about religion? The Muslim religion?
It's about everything. It's about the color of your skin, the air you breathe, the God you choose to pray to, the books you read, everything. It's about everything. I don't believe there's just one reason why people are doing this shit.
Exactly. And when you have
we both like exactly.
When you have as many religions as there are in the world, there are religions that there are certain aspects of certain people's religions that people don't understand. There are other sects within the religion that a lot of people will not understand, and going for the length of time that a lot of these religions and people that are, that worship a particular religion or that recognize a particular religion, they just don't get along. And a lot of these are warring factions that have gone on to oppose each other. We're not talking about something that just happened 5 years ago because of a disagreement at a political party's meeting. These are, in some instances, things that have gone along for decades and sometimes hundreds of years, just fighting over a piece of land that one religion believes is sacred to another religion and to the people that live there. And some people are fighting against that oppression because of their perceived right to just exist. And these are the clashes that are going on. The problem is, as we've seen with the United States, with the whole boots to the ground thing that you always hear about, there has to be a situation where the United States can't always be the policeman to everybody all the time. Because as we're seeing, it's backfired in a lot of other instances. And the anti-America sentiment that's out there in a lot of countries is because of the United States and their perceived meddling in everyone else's affairs.
Okay, so
That's what our country founded on. We've always done that.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, that's never going to change. I would love to see that, you know, downplay and for our government to finally look at us first and then help everybody who they, you know, then help, but that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we have K-Dog. K-Dog's on the line.
Hey, good evening, everybody.
Hey,
what's going on, everybody?
Good day.
Hey,
what's up?
Hot Rod, Anitra, Ms. Jones, Sean Black. How you guys doing tonight? Just
get to the point. We have an hour show. Go get to the
point. Hour show. Okay, man. All right, man. I'm just gonna greet everybody. But first up, I gotta say about this the horrible attacks that happened in Paris. You know, it's just the worst thing of all. I mean, especially with terrorist attacks, because most of these terrorist attacks, remember, they're surprise attacks. And with the way that it happened, I mean, it just happened out of nowhere. I mean, here the people are enjoying a concert, and a gunman just says, "Abul Akbar," something, and just opens fire, murdering 89 people. And meanwhile, out in the restaurant, a suicide bomber just decides to unleash explosion, an explosion that is so far that even during a soccer match, that the explosion was heard inside the stadium. Now, just imagine had that bomb went off inside that stadium, what would have happened?
Exactly. The sad part about it was the person that – yeah, go ahead.
Hold on. The bombing house happened outside the stadium, not inside.
No, but I'm just saying they
did not let the guy in, so he set the bomb off there.
Yeah, so that's what I meant. I said that imagine had he gone into the stadium. Because this is the thing that we're not looking at. You see, when it comes to these terrorists, they could be living in our own backyard and we don't even know it. And it's happened, and, you know, despite what everybody says, oh, there's conspiracy theories about 9/11, remember, these guys, we don't know how long they were living there. And plus now, with this thing that, with the civil war that's going on in Syria, the bomber, the suicide bomber, near his body, they found his passport, and his passport comes from Syria.
Okay, all right. All right, stop right there. I have a conspiracy about that. Ladies and gentlemen, as K-Dog stated, they found a passport. Okay, guys, let's use some common sense here. If I want to blow myself up and my body is in pieces, explain to me how in the world a passport is not blown up or caught on fire while everything else is. Because that passport is made of Superman glue or the best weapon in the world.
Yeah,
I don't say how that was still around. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what anybody says. That was planted by the police.
Not necessarily.
No. Hold on 1 second. Explain to me a bomb that killed maybe 30 people or more. We don't know what happened. Well, you tell me out of nowhere the passport was still around to identify the suspect? I'm sorry. Use your common sense, Anitra, please. Yes, it
okay.
can. Yes. But no,
yeah.
It was planted by law enforcement because they want the people to know who these guys are so they could try to help them to catch these guys. Mic drop. Take it away.
It's the same way where you have these three or four call alarms, fires in these buildings where everything is burnt. Or, you know, you'll see a picture in a frame that somehow didn't get caught or a teddy bear or something. Shit like this, it does happen.
True,
it does happen.
It's
very simple to say it's a conspiracy because that's the first thing people jump to.
Yeah,
oh,
because,
but
you
come
know,
on,
I've seen,
I'm sorry, the passport out of all the things, you tell me not the keys, not his pen, not his money,
why not?
The passport.
Why not?
Oh, you know what? I better go to France then and buy their passport because they don't think I'll last anything then. Ouch. But carry on, Sean, Ms. Jones.
Here's the thing that we have to look at, first of all, and the one thing, not even just the conspiracy aspect that seems to be around this whole entire story, is also the fact that there are still a lot of innocent people that were killed. And
exactly.
The main message
That's
behind what ISIS is doing is the fact that they just want to create as much havoc as humanly possible.
Yes, they do.
And the first thing that they did after they claimed responsibility for this, they said the next thing that we're going to do is we're going to go after Washington, D.C., and we're going to come for the United States, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. A lot of this is happening. It's almost like an organized strike from this point to this point, to this point, to this point. They know what they're doing. They've probably been planning something like this out for a long time. And when a lot of people were talking about how another 9/11 wouldn't happen, we wouldn't hear such a thing because the government is all over everything else, we've been slowly but surely hearing a lot more of these kinds of attacks, and they're starting to become a lot more frequent. So now the question is, what is the government going to do now going forward? What do they have implemented to try to work these things
out? Because also I wanted to point out something else too. Remember, this also happened in Mumbai when they said that when Islamic militants murdered 164 people in coordinated attacks. You know, and now in today's paper, I was reading today's paper, they were asking, are we safe? You know, the Paris attack shows that nobody is safe in this world. There is no type of safety from terrorism because, you know, you never know when a terrorist will strike, whether a terrorist group will strike. That's what I said earlier, that they're not, you know, we don't know who's living in our backyard. We don't know who our neighbors are.
Exactly.
They could be living anywhere. They could be living near us. They could be living in the next borough or the next block. We don't know because, like I said, if we do not learn our lessons from all these terrorist attacks, the ones that happened in Mumbai, Nigeria, Kenya, now Paris, even the bombing in England, and 9/11 14 years ago, we need to really stay alert at all times. That's why it's best to stay alert because these things do happen because I look at it like this. And like you were stating earlier, Sean Black, I could say it like this. Like, the two most powerful things in the world are politics and religion. You understand what I'm saying?
And money is usually backing both.
And so. Money usually backs it up. Because, you see, with these radicals, with these Islamic radicals, I mean, okay, you cannot paint everyone. It would be wrong to paint all Muslims with the same paintbrush. These are radicals. These Islamic radicals, they're going according to breaking the rules because they believe in causes. They reject Western philosophy. They reject everything that has to do with, let's just say, how we live. They feel that that's the way that they got to do things by inciting violent attacks. And if they take a life, and yes, most likely their own lives as well, they believe that they will see five virgins, I think, when they enter paradise.
72 virgins, as I think.
Yeah, 72 virgins. Yeah.
So in other words, you see 72. In other words, you see 72 Anishas up there. Oh well. But carry on, K-Dog.
Yeah. One of these days.
Yeah.
How? Right in the kisser.
Oh, she's gonna go Ralph Cramden on you.
That's right, Norton.
Oh yeah, you know that.
Well, go ahead, Anitra.
I feel it's more dangerous when it's religious based.
Mm-hmm.
Because, okay, religion comes, it's your heart.
Yeah.
It's belief. These people have such a belief and such a deep
mm-hmm.
love for what they believe in, they will strap a bomb to their body.
Yeah.
They will not think twice.
No,
for the love of what they believe in, that's what makes them so dangerous.
Yeah,
and they're prepared
mm-hmm.
to die.
We don't have that outlook in life. The
yeah.
Western civilization does not have that same outlook.
The enemy that's hardest to kill or stop is the one that doesn't have anything to lose in their mind. If they
exactly.
feel that they don't have anything to lose, so I'm going to be a soldier in the cause, is I'm just going to
yeah.
blow myself up, and that's going to help out the cause. That's the more dangerous enemy to have to face. Whereas
yeah.
anybody that's in sort of a fight or a war is like, okay, this hurts too much. I'm going to back off. That's not the
nope.
case.
Because for them,
okay.
it's like this is their cause. It's
all right,
them.
So to Ms. Jones, since you're the psych person here, do you think mm-hmm. Islamic, excuse me, I can't pronounce the word. I'm so out of it.
Islamic.
Mm-hmm.
Islamic, thank you. Preaches violence?
No, actually, you've had various. I could have sworn I saw something with Don. Was it Don? And someone
yeah,
else
Don
on CNN.
Where,
yeah, where the guy actually said to him, a lot of people, like a lot of media, keep pushing this whole agenda of Muslims being violent, and they actually practice, or they apparently the Quran states the opposite. Now I've heard individuals say that's a goddamn lie, but I mean, like.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Oh. Did we lose her?
Yeah, we just lost Ms. Jones. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Okay,
I'm sorry about that. So go ahead,
I live in a predominantly Muslim neighborhood. From what I understand, they do not preach violence.
No, they don't.
They are more about peace.
See?
Okay.
ISIS dropped my phone. What happened?
Oh, she's
back. Okay, welcome back.
Okay.
My phone said,
so,
I was like, ooh, see, I don't like this shit. I don't want to talk about ISIS because they better not try to come blow up my house. Oh, hell no. Yeah, but
so,
I was saying, I don't think they, I don't really, me personally, I don't think that that's what they're about, you know. But, I mean, honestly, once again, I keep telling people, when I look at, what movie was I watching? And I don't know if it was a movie. I have to figure out what it was. But this woman said, men don't understand. The only language men understand is war. And I was like, ooh. And this was some, I don't know if it was a romance movie. I got to hone in and find where exactly it came from. But it's like, I always go back to that. Why are men so bored? Like, why do they feel they got to shoot up stuff and blow up stuff and destroy stuff? Even when you study men or boys at young ages, everything is about destruction. It's like, calm the hell down. These guys that went and shot up the place, were they not getting pussy? Was nobody?
Well, if they're trying to get to 72 virgins, I don't think that's going to be the case.
Oh, well, something else I wanted to point out. There are women amongst them, too, you know. There are women amongst them, too, because I've heard reports, especially of the White Widow with that last attack in Paris, where the Charles Hebdo, where they shot up the place, and the newspaper office. This is the whole thing. Some of those women are also suicide bombers too.
Yeah,
they're indoctrinated with that, you know, and that's why I could reiterate with what you guys are saying about the Muslim faith. Let me just say the Islamic faith, according to the Quran, It is forbidden. They are forbidden to take part in any warfare.
Mm-hmm.
That's what people are misinterpreting. Oh, all Muslims are no, the Quran does not preach violence.
As I told you before.
Go ahead, Sean Black.
Yeah, just as I told you before, 9/11, when that happened, gave the United States the right, almost, under the guise of being patriotic,
mm-hmm.
to basically turn Muslims into the new N-word.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime that happened, there was something that happened, you got a chance to say something about the what they were wearing, their headdress. You had to say
mm-hmm.
something about that. Oh, you're Muslim, you don't belong here. And it was almost perfectly fine to say that under the guise of being patriotic. We're having the same kinds of garbage happening now, in the sense that there's this, it's like an attack on a particular religion, and a lot of it is unfounded. There are a lot
mm-hmm.
of peaceful Muslims that live on this planet, that live
mm-hmm.
in the New York area, that live in the country. They don't want anything to do with anything that's not peaceful. They just want to raise their children. They want to advance
mm-hmm.
themselves. And the problem is because of the reputation that is being thrown out there in the news and in the media, there are a lot of people in the Muslim faith that are now probably almost afraid to reveal that they are Muslim because of what's going on. I mean, how many times have we been on a bus or a train or whatever, and we've heard somebody say something snide about somebody that is of the Muslim faith?
Right, and you know what, Sean, there's something else too. After 9/11, remember that many Muslims were being physically attacked.
Exactly.
They were being physically attacked. Muslim guys were getting jumped. The women had their scarves ripped, had their turbans ripped off of their heads. And there were even, in some states, there was even a shooting. They even shot up a mosque. I'm like, wow, that's a place of worship.
We are animals, too, to a certain degree. That's why.
Yeah, you know, and the same thing goes on with, you have some Christians out there who are radical. You have some Christians, like some hate groups out there. They use the Christian belt to say, hey, we're Bible-thumping Christians,
mm-hmm.
but yet they're the same ones who preach their hatred.
Mm-hmm.
Well, talk about hatred, because me and at my job, I cannot mention all the people, we saw a guy with his, you know, he looked like an Uber driver, whatever, park outside our building. And, you know, he had like the wild beard and a little bit, and he was wearing the thing on the head. I forgot the name of it.
The turban?
You know that?
The turban, yeah.
So, of course, you know, he was cracking up jokes about, the Taliban, he going to blow us up, all that stuff. Because, you know, that's how we was raised. That's how we talk. We prejudge right away. So I asked the guy who's a driver, will you hire him to work for you? He told me no. I'm like, why is that? He could be the nicest guy in the world. That's true. The reason why I hire him to work for my service, number one, I'm a Jew. I'm afraid for my life.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, look at him. If you're Jewish or you're someone, because the way we was raised, the way we watch the news today, you're going to have second thoughts before you hop in that cab. Well, why? The first thing you think about right away is he gonna blow up the place, or he gonna shoot somebody. So no, he could be the nicest guy in the world. He could be a hard worker, but I can't hire him because of his appearance, which is sad.
And
you know,
we all do that.
Yeah. There's something else too. People are mistaking the Muslims and the sheikhs, because remember they are also sheikhs from India. They also wear turbans. They're being targeted as well.
Yeah.
And that's the sad part about it.
Well, I just got a Twitter quote from Drunk Guy again. They are all and he said they are all sexually and frustrated and they need to get laid and have a drink. Wow.
See? Exactly.
Wow.
Okay. All right, but talk about frustration. I want to switch over to the social media outrage of the Paris attacks. Because everybody wants to get nonsense on social media. So, where should I begin? I will start with a profile picture of the flag, which started so much talk among people on social media. What people don't know what happened is on Facebook, you have the option of changing your profile picture to the colors of the flag of France in support. Of course, a lot
right.
of people was upset about that. Why people are upset? Because, you know, France did this, France did that. We support France, but what happened in Kenya? What happened in other countries? Ms. Jones, what do you think about all this outrage on social media?
Wait, come back to me.
Okay.
Let's just strap her to the Wheel of Fortune and spin her around and then we get back.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. The profile picture of social on Facebook. What do you think about that?
Who are you asking me again?
The Facebook picture. Remember, we did talk about this on Sunday.
I told you to come back to me.
Oh, come back to you. Oh.
That's why I said what I said.
Okay,
oh,
well, I'm actually very happy about it. For the first time in a really long time, people are showing that lives matter. No one's asking how many white people were killed, how many black people killed. The lives of these people are what mattered.
Oh,
and
okay.
that's what I appreciated. It wasn't about race. It was just the fact that this is a tragic situation, and we were showing support.
Okay, Sean Black.
Okay. I had to rein myself in on this because remember we talked about this on Sunday and I got really heated about this particular topic. Here's where I stand on this. Like Anitra just stated, the profile picture has nothing to do with who's better, who's whatever the case. The premise is to show solidarity for the fact that we are there for you, France. We understand what you're going through, and you have our support. And a lot of people did that. And what ended up happening from what I saw of people online doing was that there was a killing, there was a massacre in Kenya back in September.
Right.
Over 100 people were killed, students, school. That's just disgusting. But see, here's where I get amped up about this situation, is the fact that two different massacres, the ideology is because there were of another race of black people that were massacred or killed. The media didn't portray it on TV in the way it should have been. Should it have been given more coverage? Yeah, I'm sure it should have. But see, here's the thing. When people get online and they start talking about this massacre was worse than that massacre, and the reason why is because of the color of somebody's skin or the fact that makes no damn sense. Because the last time I checked, in Paris, there are plenty of black people that live in Paris. There were Americans that were in Paris, including one who was 23 years old that was there studying. And she was killed, 23 years old. There was, I remember on the news the day after the attacks happened in Paris, there was a black Parisian who said that the shrapnel that was there from the explosion, if it didn't hit his phone, it would have ripped through his chest and killed him. And he showed a picture of the phone with the shrapnel right in the screen. So,
ooh.
Yeah, there are plenty of different races that live in Paris. I get tired of the fact that we're actually shaming whose massacre is worse than the other.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell difference does it make? People are dead.
Yep.
People are
exactly.
dead, but, like, people are dead, but the outrage is because Facebook did not make a thing for Kenya or a thing for Jordan or a thing for Syria or other countries.
And you want to know why? Because, as we just stated, true, there wasn't enough media attention when it happened.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. From
right.
that sense, that could have been better. But
yeah, but see, here's my question. It was in the news. I heard about
yes.
this.
It was on CNN.
Papers.
It was on
it
the
was
other
in the news.
News.
So
yeah.
then,
but
people who actually supposedly cared about what happened
mm-hmm.
in Kenya, why didn't they post something on Facebook
exactly.
or Instagram or Twitter?
Exactly.
Why
now?
But that thing, it doesn't matter if it's on TV or on the news. It's all about what generates the hashtag and what gets it going. Because
mm-hmm.
there are people that see things on TV and the news. But guess what? If I work for Facebook,
and I see something on the news and I go to Zuckerberg and say, oh, we should do that, and then it generates or whatever, or I put it out there, then fine, it happens that way. When the Kenya thing happened, and it was two things that happened in Kenya. It was the mall murder, and then it was that other massacre. So people were trying to say, oh, Facebook wasn't around when that happened. And I was like, no, Facebook clearly was around when the mall massacre happened. But
right.
At the end of the day, it's like, and choose what to run with. If someone comes
exactly.
and say, oh, you're mad and you shouldn't put that as your profile picture, why do you have to then run with it? And you know what my answer to that is? People like to be controversial. I may
yes,
like apples, but if I know I'm going to get 5 likes or 500 likes by saying, oh, shit, don't eat apples, I'm going to put that on my Facebook page. Not me personally, because I think it's but whatever people can do to get attention, I literally saw so many posts where people were literally contradicting themselves. Oh,
yeah,
you know, you shouldn't change your profile picture, but if you care about people dying, care about them dying, I care about them.
Yeah.
Wait, but what did you just say? What?
Yeah. Let me just,
exactly.
Let me just say this about the whole situation. As I was on Facebook, and, you know, many people were changing their profile pictures, I heard some real disgusting things. I mean, the most disgusting things about what went on in Paris. Like, in other words, at Paris, or who cares about what happened in Paris, or who cares? And, you know, the thing is, it's human lives that were taken. It doesn't matter whether they were black or white, yellow, red, or purple. That's the bottom line. It was color has nothing to do with it. And for people to be so ignorant, you know, yes, what happened in Kenya was a horrible tragedy. That was horrible, what they did in that university in Kenya. But then after to post it as if it just happened, oh, look at what happened in Kenya. No one, and it, we have to, people went on there and said, this happened in April. Let's talk about what happened in Paris. True, should they have gotten more media attention? Of course. But then do not use your ignorance to put things up there saying nasty things about who cares about Paris. Because you know what? Let's just look at it this way. Human lives. Human lives are taken over there. One can only imagine what families are going through now.
What I notice about Facebook is people tend to add random people to their page, and then when these random people that they don't know say shit, they want to get mad at them. You add them to your page. You
exactly.
add them. And then people want to post stuff and say, oh, if you don't like what I have to say, then get off my page. You added them to the page that you want them to get off of. I don't, like,
exactly.
like, it's like people are just being retarded on top of retarded, and it's like, don't you get tired of being stupid?
Yeah,
one of
exactly.
my followers posted a journalist, and the journalist was like, oh, you know, I'm not going to change my profile picture because I don't want to express myself that way. I choose to express myself this way, and when people choose to express themselves this way, so I'm like, wait a minute. You're a journalist, one. So you're getting mad at people expressing themselves, but you're sitting here expressing yourself as well. Who's stopping you from expressing yourself, you fucking hypocrite?
Nobody's stopping you. And the thing is,
mm-hmm.
you're sitting there saying all this nasty stuff. I like to ask the people who post all these stupid things, what if it was your relative that was murdered? What would you say?
Exactly.
And it wouldn't have anything to do with race.
Right.
It would have everything
to
do with human life.
That's what I'm noticing about society on a whole, majority, I should say. I don't expect empathy from a lot of people because a lot of individuals are narcissistic. Narcissism is outrunning empathy. So I can't expect someone that as soon as their cat dies, they're up taking selfies, they're taking pictures of the dead cat. It's like, wait a minute. At what point do you stop and process what just happened before you start taking pictures to post them on Facebook? At what point do you stop and say, you know what, I'm going to take a moment to think about what happened before you start posting shit for likes and sympathy?
And, you know, this comes from people's stupidity because, you know what, they allow social media to run their lives. And, you
exactly.
know, already when you have people who become ignorant and have nothing in their brain, they tend to put stupid things up without even thinking about it. Before putting it up there, think about what you're going to put up there. Don't just put it up there just to put it up, you know?
I got to drop the bombshell questions right now, guys. I'll start with you, Sean Black.
All right.
Should the refugees be allowed in the United States of America? And how should President Obama handle this situation right now?
Well, the first thing is there are, I forgot that ridiculous amount that they said, was like 25,000 refugees coming in from either Syria or from where they're coming from.
Yeah.
Before anything can be done, as we know that the United States is one of those, is a country that will bring in immigrants and have them become part, indoctrinate them into the American way of life. You can make yourself become the American dream and make money.
Yeah.
The one thing that they have to be able to do is they have to go through a lot of background checks. They're going to have to do that. And that's something that just is not fully feasible, because I believe it takes something like 18 months to do a full background check on somebody. So I think they have to make sure, if the president is trying to make sure that the people that are coming in are above level, you can't do that with everybody. So these kinds of things are going to have to get looked at. And background checks for right now are the only thing that I can really think of offhand to make sure that this is going to be the case. Because you're not going to, everybody that's coming into the United States are not above level. We know that. We know, we've seen people from certain countries come in, and the next thing you know, they're drug lords. Somebody comes in from another country, and they decided to try to blow up something. It happens. You can't police every single person. So I think that from that sense, President Obama has to make sure that the people that are coming in, as to the best of the government's ability, is to make sure that until that is the case, it's kind of hard to keep people to come in, maybe having to slow down the amount of people that are coming in until you can figure out who is who and what their reasonings are for coming into the United States. And that's the hardest part about the whole situation.
Okay, but the problem with this situation right now is, number one, if we accept these refugees, what about our people first? Should we be worried about our vets who are homeless right now? Why are we taking other people and giving them homes and jobs?
Exactly.
And you're right. And that's the other topic of it, is the fact that we as a country, we do so much to make sure that the outside, kind of like putting on a pretty dressing on the outside of a building to make sure that the inside doesn't stink. So we put deodorant inside, and then we put bunting on the windows, and we dress everything up. But inside, it smells like dead cats.
Yeah.
At some point, you got to address why it stinks. Somewhere along the line, you got to make sure that the United States takes care of home first. I'll be the first to say that. You got to be able to take care of home first. We have homeless people that are – we have hungry. We have people that don't have adequate housing, adequate schooling. We have to be able to take care of the domestic issues in the United States first and then worry about what's going on afterwards.
Okay,
and that's part of the problem.
Okay, thank you. I have to make a major announcement. After a two-month hiatus, he has returned. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Milton X.
Hello.
What is going on, Milton X?
Hey. How y'all doing?
How can you piss us off tonight? Go ahead, Milton X. Take it away.
Well, first of all, I've been listening to the show here, and I've got my opinions on the whole thing. First of all, the whole issue, of course, the entire strategy, it is stretched. Terrorism is abound, and a lot of the situations here with these terrorist groups, they've been, you know, created by, you know, the same people that they've been bombing, you know, meaning that, you know, like America, other European countries have backed these little pocket groups, you know, when they go, let's say ISIS goes after Iran or something, or goes after Syria or something, things like that. America will slide them money and weapons on the low as a little task force. But the problem is that makes them bigger, and they're going to do what they're going to do. Now, reason why ISIS does what they do, they don't have to do with anything of them from a Muslim religion standpoint, because like I commented earlier, Islam is about peace, about carrying yourself in a peaceful way. So they're just bastardizing that for their own reason, which is power. That's what they want. They want power, like any other evil terrorist organization, whether it's ISIS or KKK, the same construct.
Right.
Now, as far as the whole Syrian refugee thing, and people want to turn them away now because of this, that's highly ignorant. Because one, those Syrian refugees try to get away from the same people you hate.
Exactly.
That's why they try to get away. Because most of the time, these Muslim groups go across to their own. So these poor Syrian people are just trying to get away from that. And if America says that the land is free and the home and the brave and bring the whole masses in, that's just contradicting that. But then again, America is full of contradictions. What a surprise. You know, so there's just more hypocrisy going on with that. Now, as far as I heard, it was all about America should take care of their homeless. Well, America doesn't care about the homeless. They never really have. Oh, go ahead. America cares about one.
If they don't care about homeless, why? If they don't care about our own people, why are we taking 20,000 other people?
And
that's because those other 20,000 other people, that's cheap labor right there. That's why these immigrants were brought in this country in the first place. Cheap labor. To put out, to be honest about it, to put out regular Americans, like, you know, especially black folk, out of business, out of work. Because they know they could get the immigrants to work cheaper, for less benefits.
Okay, I'm sorry. I agree that they want to do cheap labor, but how they
right.
Will put black people out of business?
Because, listen, there's less jobs out there for blacks to get because they don't just hire these immigrants, whether they're legal or illegal, because they don't know they work for that. Because black Americans, we come up from school, we work hard, we're trying to get paid the right way. Now, these immigrants come from the other countries, they'll just take anything. Oh, what, $5 an hour? Fine, I'll take it. You know what I'm saying? They'll take less, even far substandard conditions, far substandard benefits, just so they can eat. And these big corporations, they know what they're doing. That's why you never going to stop immigration like that.
Anitra B., what do you think?
I think that sounds ridiculous. I'm sorry, but when I came to this country, I didn't take food out of your mouth. I made my own way. I educated myself. I pushed myself. I didn't take anyone else's opportunity. You have the same opportunity, the same foot and forward in front of you as I did growing up. Nothing different.
I'll retort that respectfully, in that when we find these immigrants, when they come over here, there are things set up for them. There's, you know,
nothing was
set up
for me. Nothing was set up for my family when we came here.
Well, see, I don't know your personal situation.
But
a lot of times, there will be more, there are things they have to account for. There's more things, some loans that are set up. Do things are set up more than the regular, you know, American black, even from even poor whites to a certain extent, don't get the benefits that these immigrants have.
What are you talking about? I had the same opportunities you did growing up. The same scholarships, the same, we read the same books, went to the same schools, same opportunities. There was no difference. My math class was the same as yours, darling.
I'm not talking about schools here.
But I had the same opportunities.
I'm talking about from business standpoints.
Business standpoints. I had the same opportunities you did. What's the difference?
You can go to the bank,
darling, and we'd have the same opportunities.
There's really no difference. Listen, brother, I can understand where you're coming from. But at the same time, we as a people, right? We do have a chance. We do if we allow ourselves, and this is where I have to say this. Immigrants come to this country almost every day.
Right.
My parents are immigrants, and they're black.
Mm-hmm.
And they mm-hmm. came here. And guess what? They had jobs. No one took a job from them. But listen to me. Nobody's here to take jobs away from black people. Nobody's here to take a job away from black people. You're saying that the immigrants are here to take, that's not necessarily true, because many blacks here are hardworking, and many
right.
of them now, and now you have a huge amount, a percentage of entrepreneurs, of us becoming entrepreneurs.
Yeah, because that's a good point, Colin. We have to be entrepreneurs now because we can't depend on the system to create jobs for us.
Well,
we
come in and do things on our own, and I applaud that. That's one thing. We're doing things on our own now more than ever because, you know what, if you look at any other magazine, you look at these business, and you see these CEOs, you'll see some of us on there. You'll see us on there. And you know what?
Okay, but stop. I'm talking now. Milton,
okay,
do you have a problem?
I hear that.
No. Tonight I'm taking charge. I don't give a damn about anybody.
I hear that. Don't come.
Take charge.
Milton, you have a problem with immigrants in this country. Because that's what it sounds like right now.
No. I don't have a problem with immigrants. Immigrants are a problem.
It sounds like you do, brother.
That's not the problem. You guys look at the bigger picture here. The immigrants ain't the issue. The issue is when these big corporations hire these immigrants, legal things, or either of you for that matter. That's the issue. You understand what I'm saying? Also, when they outsource jobs to other countries, taking them away from America, that's the issue. For immigrants, I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to come here, they're trying to eat. That's why they pick any condition, even though it may be less standard of what the American condition is. So they're trying to do what everybody else.
As it initially stated, talk about the refugees, this is a land of opportunity for almost everyone. Yes, it's harder
exactly.
for the black folks, but it's not Anicho's fault, it's not Obama's fault, it's not no one's fault, but your own, if you're not up there where you're at right now. Some people
exactly.
just have to work harder
Obama's not going to do anything for black people or anybody unless there's money involved. So that's what
you have a problem that Obama is giving refugees
See, you're twisting things around.
The bottom line is that true. He is a politician. This is
right.
the thing. Why? Okay, you said that the refugees, that these immigrants are taking jobs away from blacks, and I have to disagree with you because you know what? We still work.
But see,
this black
thing.
People still work.
Okay,
you can't
I will put
say
it down
that.
Like this. Actually,
right.
I, in my opinion, I feel I can, in that, let's be honest, as the saying goes, you can much work as a black person, you have to work twice as hard to get where you need to go. Because if it's tired, then they're not going to, down the side, they're going to pick you in jobs or stuff like that. They could get someone cheaper to work in there. And that's what I'm saying. Because people hire them. And ultimately, we need to create our own businesses anyway. We need to create our own businesses, our own economy, that we don't have to worry about that type of situation. And
okay, so Sean.
Yeah.
Right.
And
well, Sean,
I think that what you're hearing.
Hold on 1 second.
Go ahead.
Like, will you work for $5 an hour?
It's hard to do. I don't think I would see, and that's the difference. I probably would, but there is somebody that will.
Is that what they are? Will you work for $5 an hour?
If I need that check to put food on my table and to feed my child, you better fucking believe it.
Yes, but that's the mainstream is we all want to make money, we all want the benefits, but these people who just come from other countries. They will work for $2 an hour because it's more than what they have now compared to back home.
And they will gladly do it, too.
And they will take it. You know what?
Okay, Ron, I have a question. Will you work on substandard benefits? Substandard benefits. You barely get any on coverage at all, any protection or anything like that. You basically, your whole benefits is trash. Will you work for that?
I'm pretty sure no, from the sense that you're going to need those benefits in case something happens to you
at
your job.
You're going to need
it. We're old now. We're not 21 no more, any of us. We're getting a little bit older, some older than others. Like, I'm the oldest here, as Sean Black. Yes, I need benefits. And I tell people many times, if I have to choose between good pay and benefits, I choose benefits over pay easily because I see different type of doctors. But that's what we need now. But these people that come out of nothing, they don't care about that. They just want to feed their kids. That's the main thing right now. I'm sorry?
Yeah, and it's in a desperate situation. And these corporations know that, so they take advantage of them. You understand what I'm saying?
We're not disagreeing that they don't take advantage. The only thing that I disagree with is you're saying that it's a Black problem. Honey, it's not a Black problem. It's a problem, period.
Yeah.
And it's an American
problem. Something like that, exactly. Something like that would affect me just as much as it would affect you. Our country's economy affects everybody that pays taxes.
I'm going to say this, and it's just my opinion. You can disagree. It's like this. When it comes to things like this, when the saying goes, when a white man catches cold, man catches pneumonia, meaning that it hits Black community harder. It hits other minorities harder than it does white people, in my opinion.
Well, all right, now, the thing is like this. Okay, let's look at the big picture. The reason why the immigrants are taking those jobs because Black people don't want those low-end jobs. Let's face it, we want to get paid.
Nobody wants those.
Exactly. Nobody wants to work for $5 an hour. So
you can't afford to live. You can't afford to live on $5 an hour.
Yeah, you can't even afford to live with five. What you're gonna live cheap? You're gonna work for $5 an hour. You're not gonna want to work for $5 an hour. So any immigrant who comes to this country, who was living miserably in their homeland, they come here, they'll take that job. Best believe it. $5, $2, it don't matter.
Exactly.
They'll take the job.
There are teenagers that do summer jobs that get paid more than that.
Exactly. So it's not that they're taking jobs away.
So, but with the refugees that's coming to this country, should we be more concerned about them being posed as terrorists, as a threat to this country? Because some of the terrorists have been parents, they're all refugees.
I think the country should actually start worrying about whether there are people that are living in the United States themselves.
That's going to become
that themselves more so than anyone else coming from outside going in. Well, we're seeing now disgruntled U.S. citizens, mind you, that are starting to change over into this mindset of being against America, against the United States ideals, and they're the ones that are starting to do it. Remember Timothy McVeigh all those years ago and the Oklahoma City bombing? That was
South Carolina right now, like a couple months ago.
Right.
NBC News saying it's like 3 to 4 times more likely that we'll be KKK or these little militia groups or more likely to commit terrorist acts in America than Muslims are.
Well, allow me to say this. These groups have grown. And the thing is, like I said earlier, we don't know who our neighbors are. The terrorists are living right in our own backyard. They could look like you, they could look like me, they could look like anybody else. It doesn't have to be from another country. There are homegrown terrorist groups living right here on this land. Right.
Okay, we have another caller, and you know he's going to take it away and tell it like it is and piss me off again. Max, take it away.
That's right. I ain't calling the bitch anybody off. That's called.
What's up, everybody?
Just came out the library, and I wasn't sure if you guys were talking about the time to stay home. You guys are kids too early. Or are you aware?
I'm sorry, you sound far away. You sound very far
Max,
away.
Max, you're breaking up.
Max, you're breaking up, man.
Well, I called before, but then I text messages on Rodney. My sister was breaking up, so I want to show if I can talk to you.
You have to call back, Max. I'm sorry. We can't hear you.
Yeah, he sounds like he's muffled of some sort.
Yeah, he sounds muffled, man.
Yeah, call back, man. Okay.
I don't even know if he heard you.
I don't think he did.
No. Okay, I have another question before I forget.
Mm-hmm.
Did the United States create ISIS?
Ooh.
Well, I'll put it to you like this. And we had this discussion a couple of days ago ourselves. A lot of people think that the United States created ISIS. ISIS was born from the Taliban. They were radicalized ideals. As crazy as the Taliban was, these are kind of like these small cells that came from the Taliban being busted up. And they actually had war with the Taliban. And as we've seen, they're actually starting to get control in certain areas, and they're running things themselves on their own. Now, did the United States create them? It depends on what you think. If you feel that George Bush, who decided when after 9/11 happened to go and storm into Iraq and look for weapons of mass destruction and try to overthrow Saddam Hussein, when it was proven that there were no weapons of mass destruction or any of these war criminals that Bush said he was looking for, and went in there and basically got and overtook Saddam Hussein, basically what ended up happening is you took a cap, a cork, right out of a champagne bottle. Saddam was the cork that kept all of the really crazy stuff bottled. Once the cork came up, all of the champagne came out. And from that champagne, you've got now more bottles that are flying out there with ISIS and all of the other little cells that are around. So
you
can look
at Sean,
that.
Hussein and Omar Gaddafi as well.
Exactly.
And all those things under wraps, and they were running things. But Gaddafi was talking about getting the African bank together and uniting African countries financially, so he had to get it taken out.
Mm.
That's just what it is. And we're saying George Bush had his own fantasies about taking out Saddam Hussein. And like you said, they sort of had the finger in the dike, so to speak. And after that, all of a sudden, Al-Qaeda popped off, and ISIS, all these other crazy terrorist groups out here, and things are more messed up now.
Yeah.
Now, the cynic says to me that this is allowed us to go down so they could go in these other countries, America, and get more wars going on because in retaliation to what they're going to do, what terrorist groups do. America now is going to all these Middle Eastern countries, raise all types of hell. And then, of course, war is big business, like Halliburton and things of that nature.
Of course.
So they're just making more money, more money, more money.
Dick Cheney made money off of it. Remember, Dick Cheney made a whole lot of money.
Okay.
But that's another story. Let's talk
about
that.
Yeah, that's another story, another show. But, yeah. So, guys, starting with Milton X. In the past few months on the show, we have been talking about mass shooting, you know, gun control.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a major difference between mass shooting and terrorism?
In a way, actually, no. Because mass shooting is terrorism. It's like Dylan Roof is a terrorist. The rules that shoot up the movie theaters out here in Colorado, all over the country, they're terrorists. They're no better than ISIS. It's the same concept. That's all. They're terrorists. But
he's exactly right. As I said before, with Timothy McVeigh, homegrown terrorists, blow up a building with children and people there, and anybody else, it goes in. The ideal behind somebody being a terrorist is to create fear. And if that's what you're doing by killing people in a big public place, then you're a terrorist.
The guy that shot up with them kids in Sandy Hook, same thing.
Exactly.
But you don't call Caucasian people terrorists. You don't. You only call dark people terrorists, like Muslims and people of that nature. Or, you understand what I'm saying? You ain't going to call Dylan Roof a terrorist.
I'll say
he's mentally disturbed, but you're not going to call America's not going to call him a terrorist. They'll say things like hate crime.
But you do realize that they have called them homegrown terrorists. It's all over the news.
Yeah,
Columbine, all of that. It's out there. People have said those words.
Yeah, but one thing about it, after the repression of other people saying, hey, how are you going when I call them a terrorist? And they say, okay, he's a terrorist. Or they may give some other excuse like he's mentally ill or something to that effect. So, to me, it's sort of like a terrorist light the way the media covers it. But if we really, really got to get to this thing here, we need to get to these little militia groups like the KKK and other militia groups like that, infiltrate them and take them out. Because to be honest about it, they're a bigger threat to America than ISIS is.
It's funny that you say that because Kareem Abdul-Jabbar made a statement that, you know, if ISIS represents Islam, that the KKK represents Christianity. Is that true?
Absolutely not.
Well, I don't believe ISIS does represent Islam in any way, shape, or form, and I don't believe KKK represents Christianity. However, the media will portray that ISIS represents Islam. So in that case, the media should portray KKK as representing Christianity then.
And that's the one thing that the media, especially the news, has to be very careful in when they actually start broadcasting these kinds of attacks, because it can be misconstrued as something that is, well, it's all Muslim, it's all radicalized Islam,
like,
and blah, 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 and they have
but
to make sure that they don't cross that.
The people
that
do that the most are Fox News and CNN, and they're playing to that audience that wants to hear that stuff.
Yeah.
This is the thing that I was saying.
There's no integrity here. This is business.
Go ahead, K-Dog.
Yeah, my thing is this. When it comes to terrorism, true, like I mentioned earlier, there are terrorist groups here. Now, the massacre that happened in Sandy Hook, that was an act of terrorism. The shooting in Aurora, Colorado, that's terrorism. You see, mass shootings and terrorism go ahead and what those terrorists did in Paris, I consider it the same thing, because anybody, if you could walk into a movie theater, you could walk into a school and gun down a bunch of people, if those guys could walk into, those murderers could walk into a concert arena and shoot up 89 people or even set up a bomb outside, they're no different from those mass shootings. They're no different from Timothy McVeigh. They're no different from the KKK. It's all terrorism. It's all terrorism from all corps.
All right, so to Ms. Jones, should we be afraid now, or do you see another 9/11 happen in the U.S.?
Should we be afraid? I think that depends on individuals. I mean, some people are just going to hustle and bustle through everyday life. Some people may have it in the back of their head. I mean, we actually live in the city where it's like, they say we're like on the top of the list in terms of, so I think our fear levels are a little bit higher than a lot of people. I don't know.
Okay.
Well, New York is the biggest market in the world. It's between media, between anything that happens. The first thing is it goes through New York. I think if you are anybody living in the United States, not just New York, but in the United States, you have to be vigilant enough to, if you, as they always say, if you see something, say something.
Say something.
But at the same time, you can't allow yourself to be so petrified and paranoid that you think every single person you see is a potential terrorist, because that's the ideal behind the terrorism that's going on, is to throw a loop and just throw everybody off. Because when after 9/11, look how long it took for the airline industry to get back to some sort of normalcy. And it still hasn't really fully recovered, because we've seen so many mergers and bankruptcies in the airplane and the airline industry
because people are afraid to fly. People are afraid to fly.
Exactly. So from that sense, you have to make sure that you know it's out there. You've known since you were a child that there are bad people out there. You've known since you were a teenager that, you know, there are gangs in the street. Or you know that there are drug dealers in out there. You just know to do the best that you can to be vigilant enough to just pay attention and keep yourself as safe as you can. That's the only thing you can do. The only difference is we have social media and all of these news outlets that just exacerbate everything else.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay. Basically, all you could do is be aware.
Exactly.
Be aware. Okay. All right, we got 10 minutes left. Let's switch up the topic a little bit. I love tonight's show. I guess we have to continue this next Monday with these topics. But let's switch up a little bit. This question is going out to the ladies. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, I don't care about celebrity gossip of, like, 50 Cent versus Vivica A. Fox. But,
oh, my goodness.
You know what's coming up? If a man asks you to lick his butthole during sex, is that questionable, or does that mean that he's gay?
What a segue.
Exactly.
From terrorism to licking
butthole.
We went
from terrorism to ass licking. What the blood clot is this?
Oh, man. Oh,
hey,
man.
When you think you have the answers, I change the question. Let's go.
What the hell? You're drinking Hennessy, aren't you, Rodney? You need to play Hennessy right now.
Unbelievable.
Oh, man.
On a breath mint in the middle of those segments to clear
exactly.
that out before you got to that.
Just threw the monkey wrench all up in there.
So, lady.
I think you can hear a pin drop after that question.
Yeah, a pin drop, yes.
All right. I personally feel that whatever a man and woman do in the privacy of their own bedroom, you know, a lot of men won't admit to the things they allow women to do to them. But it's true. Most grown men will not freely admit that they allow women to do pretty much whatever they fucking want.
Okay.
But no, I don't think it means a man is gay if he's asking a woman to do that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Ms. Jones, have you done something like this before?
No, not at all.
But then
again, I don't kiss and tell, so nay.
Boy. Boy.
If you want to know, you have to invite them. I'll leave that to the individuals that have crossed my path.
Okay. So, Sean Black, since you've done it to me before, how does it feel like?
Shit with him.
Oh, man.
Party done.
I'm sorry, guys. I have to line up the topic a little bit, but other than that, I just need a little bit of
segue. At least warning or something, like, you know.
No.
Like, man, oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Back to the trivia topic, because I have to wrap it up soon. Milton X, since you have not called in about 6 months, I give you 3 minutes. What is your final thoughts?
My final thought is, as we pray for Paris, we should also pray for Kenya and Nigeria, who have also been victims of vicious attacks by groups like Boko Haram. But unfortunately, the world leaders, media, Facebook, et cetera, doesn't seem to give a damn. I say that because they don't pay any attention to it. Hell, we can't change our profile pic to the Kenyan flag or the Nigerian flag, for example. And they don't watch on CNN. They were saying that the world leaders really at concern about Western Africa. So the whole All Lives Matter is nothing but a misnomer at this point. So I say pray for Paris, pray for Nigeria, pray for Kenya, pray for Beirut also, because they have lives too, and their blood is no more unimportant, or their blood is no more unimportant than the French blood. That all should be recognized, all should be mourned properly.
Oh, very good. I like that final thought. K-Dog, take it away. What is your final thought?
All I got to say is that the world needs prayer. The world, because believe it or not, terrorism could happen anywhere in the world. And, of course, we know what happened in Paris. We know what happened in Kenya. We know what happened in Beirut. We know what happened in Mumbai. Time and time again, we have to live our lives every day, but at the same time, be alert of who your neighbor is. Watch your neighbors. And look out for yourselves and look out for family, friends. Look out for everyone. And I mean, when I say this about world unity, world peace, and that's all I got to say.
Wow, I'm about to cry right now. Thank you so much. Ms. Jones, what's your final thought?
I just hope that, you know, Paris could come back from this tragedy. I mean, it's going to take some time. You know, I'm watching the personal accounts of individuals that lost their lives, and it's just heartbreaking, you know. I don't know how it's a hard thing to deal with terrorism because it's terror. It's terrorism. It's like it's nothing that's planned. It just pops up. So in terms of attacking terrorism, that's an oxymoron to me. But, yeah, I mean, it's heartbreaking. And in terms of the ass eating, whatever you do behind closed doors, have fun. Be merry and not gay. Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, man. Ms. Jones, go ahead, Milton X.
I'm just going to interject one thing about this whole shit. You do what we do in the bedroom is your business. Well, as long as you wrap it up, you know what I'm saying? Don't be like Charlie Sheen out here and shit.
Let's
keep it 100. For a man to have his ass lit, he has to put his body in very gay-like positions. Just let that marinate for a minute. You know what I mean? You bending over or putting your legs up in the air like a bitch. Mm-hmm. All right? So let's be honest about this. That is very, very teachy, as they say, to have your ass. Basically, ladies, if your man throws his legs up in the air or bending over, he's telling you something.
What?
Don't be surprised. Listen, if a man getting his ass, how are you going to get his ass? What that's telling you?
The same way he get his balls. Like, I mean, come on, you don't have to be.
Shit.
You do not have to be in no compromising position to get your ass.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much. Good night, guys. Thank you for calling in. It was a great show. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
And Rodney, what a very entertaining hour and a half so far.
Wow.
I'm not going back up in the rafters like Sting.
Oh, man.
Okay. No problem.
Peace out, y'all.
Alrighty then.
Oh, man.
Okay, 718. All right. Okay, back to... No, I hang on Anitra again. Kato, goodbye. Okay, I hang on Anitra. Anitra could call back.
Okay.
All right, so I'm back. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, we got 6 minutes left. I have two questions to ask. Okay, to you. Are the New England Patriots, a.k.a. the Cheaters, the best team in NFL right now? And do you see them going for a perfect season? And if they do get a perfect season, will you give them respect?
I'll put it to you like this. It's been shown that they are, without question, the best team in the NFL. Without question. After watching my Giants play as tough as they could have, they had way too many issues going into the game. They played up until certain parts. The Giants, they didn't play a full game, and what ended up happening, those mistakes, the Patriots capitalized on. The Patriots are one of those teams that they're either going to wait for you to make mistakes or they're going to blow you out of the building. In the game on Sunday against the Giants, they capitalized on mistakes that the Giants made. The Giants didn't capitalize on the mistakes that the Patriots made. Well, will the Patriots go undefeated? I can see them losing one game, but I definitely can't see them going into the playoffs and losing a game. I think that the road to the Super Bowl goes through them in the AFC. And I think they're playing angry. And they're taking it out on every team on the schedule. There's all of the stuff that's happened in the past.
Maybe they just need to get their butt licked.
Oh, okay. And to Anitra B, a question to you. Are you shocked by the Charlie Sheen news that he got HIV?
No. I mean, I am. I do feel bad because no one deserves that. Nobody. Actually, nobody does deserve that. I'm just hoping that he is taking care of himself and he's doing what his physician is telling him to do.
Okay. And all right, so we got 4 minutes left. Ladies and gentlemen, Sean Black, you take it away. What is your final thought?
Okay. My final thought is we're living in a world now where everything is at everyone's fingertips, whether it be social media, the internet, whether it's email, the news, and a lot of news channels are now 24/7. So we are connected to each other in some way, shape, or form. And with that comes the responsibility of actually getting correct news and getting the stories right. And when we hear of these atrocities that happen throughout the world, something has to be done. What I have just I stated earlier in the show, with all of these massacres and killings and religious things happening all over the world, in the sense of the person that is being part of the oppressed, their plight will seem much more difficult than the others. But everybody's plight is just as important to be taken care of. And it has to be taken care of in a sense that we can't let certain things continue in the path that they're happening right now. It's my plight is worse than yours, your plight is worse than mine. As we saw over the weekend, and especially on that one day, we had the terrorist attacks happen, we had an earthquake in Japan, we had a funeral that was bombed in Baghdad, we had another suicide bombing in Beirut, and an earthquake in Mexico. That happened all on the same day, which was a Friday the 13th, ironically. So for that sense, as one of the other people that called up and said, don't just pray for France or pray for Kenya or pray for anybody else. Pray for the entire planet. And just another quick thing before I swing it back to you guys. I know there may be, who knows who's listening to the show. You may have relatives or friends or anybody that's living in Paris. There's a number that you can call, and CNN provided it, and they put it up. It's 1-888-407-4747. And you can call that number and see if you are able to contact people that may have problems trying to contact Paris and France that may have relatives there or friends there to see what's going on. You can call them, call that number and see if that gets you to the help that you need for doing that. But that's something that has to be taken care of.
Okay, well, Anitra B, I'm terribly sorry Sean took most of your time, but we have to go now. Ladies and gentlemen, but one question to Anitra B, I do have to ask. When you lick butt, does it taste like chocolate, vanilla, or caramel?
You're disgusting. I don't do that.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to another edition of The Absolute Truth right here on Blog Talk Radio with the host with the most, the King of King himself. I am the Hot Rod with
Sean Black. And, of course, my sister from another mister.
As always, ladies and gentlemen, the pleasure was all
yours.
Good night, guys.
Good night, guys.
Good night.